Who gets the harshest judgment at the great white throne? Because there are degrees of judgment, because not everyone is an equal sinner. And this cannot be adjusted in death, because death is the great equalizer. Think about it. Good morning, everyone. Think about this, though. How can death be adjusted to suit the various sins, actions, let's say, acts of different people? No, because the baby is just as dead as Adolf Hitler. So this can only happen, this adjustment, in life. That's why the second death, which we're going to get to, is not a punishment for sin. It can't be, because it equalizes everything. Death is a result of who we are. We die because of what we have become in Adam. As an Adam, all are dying. You can't help it. It's not your fault. This is why babies die. And people go, why did the babies die? It's not their fault. They didn't do anything wrong. Because death is not a punishment for doing anything wrong. It's something you inherited from Adam. This is a great truth. Suffering, on the other hand, that is a result of things you've done wrong. Yeah, you suffer because of what you do, but you die because of what you are. Adam sinned, and he suffered. Eve sinned, and she suffered. She suffered in childbearing. He suffered in having to till the ground, and the animals became very grouchy at that point. But to die, you shall be dying. That is inherited by all humanity, irrespective of our deeds. This is why, and I'll get to this in more detail, this is why the second death is not a punishment for sin. They're cast into the lake of fire. They deserve it. No. Do we deserve to be subject to the first death? What did I do? I was just born, and I didn't ask to be born. But once I was born, I did do certain things. I cried when I was a baby, when I was hungry. I wasn't very patient. I didn't have the fruit of the Spirit called patience. None of us do when we're babies. So we start this adventure of sin. And for that, we receive adjustments. Now for us, of course, in the body of Christ, all our sin is gone by virtue of Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross. And it's true that the sin, we've talked about this, of those at the great white throne is also gone, but they have not received a realization of that, and so they're brought to that realization through trial. So back to that. I'll get more into that. It's an interesting topic, suffering versus death, and sin versus inheritance from Adam. We're going to get to that in detail at the great white throne, because the second death is severely misunderstood. And I'm the world's expert on the second death. I will continue to remind you. Back to Romans chapter 2. I believe this is where I left off yesterday. People are ignorant of the kindness of God, generally, in the world. We finally, it dawned on us, because of God, God caused it to dawn on us, that we are helpless sinners apart from Christ, and we cannot save ourselves. The world has not gotten that message yet. Thus, verse 5 of Romans chapter 2, in accord with your hardness and unrepentant heart, Paul speaking to the world, to humanity in general, you are hoarding for yourself indignation in the day of indignation. This has to be the great white throne, because where is all humanity is not alive during the tribulation. Some would say, well, the word indignation here must be, the word indignation is here, must be the day of the tribulation, but only a small percentage of humanity that ever lived is alive at that time. And besides, does God pay each in accord with his acts in the day of, during the 3.5 years of the hardest part of the tribulation? No, he doesn't. Not every human, anyway. It's true, those who are alive are paid in accord with their acts. Those who take the mark of the beast suffer. Those who don't, they also suffer. They get killed. So it's just wholesale suffering for a different purpose. But we're talking here about the great white throne. So God will pay each in accord with his acts. And yesterday I showed you the parallel passage in Revelation chapter 20. The dead gives up, the sea gives up the dead in it. Death and the unseen give up the dead in them. And they, that is the formerly dead, were judged each in accord with their acts. More detail coming up. But this show is about who gets judged worse. Yeah, I'm going to make comparisons. This is a bold show. Many people don't dare to tread into these waters because it's politically incorrect today to say some people are wrong and some people are right. And who are you to make yourself judge as to who is judged more severely at the great white throne? You're right. Who am I? I'm a nobody. But I can read and I can make decisions based on what I read. Oh, but what if the word of God isn't politically correct? Well, then it's not my problem, is it? And the word of God is not politically correct. The word of God calls what is. The word of God calls unbelievers unbelievers. I can't do that today, according to some people, because that makes me a judge. You can't decide who's an unbeliever. I don't. God decides. And then those unbelievers reveal certain traits about themselves. For instance, they hate the truth. That's a big sign to me because I'm able to read signs because I'm not politically correct. God will be paying each in accord with their acts. Well, give me two groups of people here. Okay, here it comes. Romans 2, 7. To those indeed who by endurance in good acts are seeking glory and honor and incorruption, God will pay those life aeonian. In other words, some will be judged and they will be granted life aeonian. They will be granted life that endures for the eon. And there's only one eon left after the great white throne, and that's the new heavens and the new earth eon. And that is an eon where many, many people from the great white throne will be transferred to the new earth as mortals, but still they will enjoy life aeonian. Now, Mr. A. Enoch disagrees with what I just told you. He thinks that everyone who is judged at the great white throne is going into the second death. I think that is absurd because there's a book that's consulted. More on that later, the Book of Life. Names are checked. Why do that? It seems like an exercise in futility if you're just going to toss everyone into the lake of fire. And besides, it says that life aeonian will be paid to those who, by endurance in good acts, sought glory and honor and incorruption. They at least sought it. Maybe they didn't obtain it in this life, but they sought it. Now here's the other group of people. Yet to those of faction and stubborn indeed as to the truth, yet persuaded to injustice, these are the people stubborn to the truth. In other words, you tell them the truth and they hate it. Yes, I'm putting religious people in this category. Because as you've heard me say over and over again, there are two types of unbelievers in this world. Worldly unbelievers and religious unbelievers. They have one thing in common. They're both unbelievers. One group paints their unbelief in whitewash. We're Christians. Oh, are you? But you don't believe any of the truth. You're persuaded to injustice. Persuaded. What's injustice? That people are eternally tormented for one or two sins in their life, or just for being a son of Adam, just for being mortal. That's injustice. It's injustice to think that someone reaps an eternal punishment for a temporary sin. It just goes against any sense of righteousness that God himself has planted in our hearts. Now, some people are drawn toward that. How does the word, they're persuaded to injustice, persuaded to it. They hear eternal torment, which is as unjust as can be. For those of you watching and your new viewers, eternal torment is a false teaching based on faulty translations. The Bible does not teach eternal torment. That's right, the Bible. There are verses that appear to teach it, but when you look at them carefully and you look at a consistently translated version, and you look at the words that Jesus, for instance, actually said, you find out that I've been sold a load of crap. It's not true. It changes your whole opinion about God and other people on the planet who you formerly thought were going to go to hell. Well, there are people who are persuaded toward that. They hear it and they love it. Yes, eternal torment for my enemies. They're persuaded to injustice. These are the kind of people going to be standing at the great white throne receiving the worst judgment. They're stubborn to the truth. You can't be stubborn to the truth unless you're exposed to the truth. The Aborigine, the primitive tribe in the deepest darkest Africa. They are not stubborn to the truth because they never hear the truth. So the people who hear the truth are subject to the worst judgment because they reject it. On these people, they will, instead of receiving life aeonian, they're going to receive this, Romans 2:9, affliction and distress on every human soul which is effecting evil, both of the Jew first and of the Greek. The Jew first. What does this mean? The Jew first. Why would the Jew first be convicted of effecting evil, of being stubborn to the truth, and of being persuaded to injustice? Because the Jew, this is not racism, this is what I say, I'm not politically correct, because this is not racism, what I'm about to say. Because to the Jew was given the greatest truth ever. The Jews got the Holy Scriptures. The Jews had God in their midst. He lived in their neighborhood, in the temple. And yet they became the worst sinners of all because they sinned against the great light. When you sin against the light, that's worse. You're a worse scoundrel than the person who never sees the light. The worldly person who's, gallivanting around in Sin City and doing all sorts of terrible things, and yet they're not guilty of not being stubborn to the truth, or really persuaded to injustice, as long as they're not hurting anybody. But my God, eternal torment is the worst injustice ever, and people love it. They drool over it. They want to hear more about it. They want their preachers to tell us about how our enemies will be tormented in hell forever. You're persuaded to that. Well, guess what is awaiting you? Affliction and distress. Where is that affliction and distress going to happen? It's not going to happen in this life because you are safe and sound, ensconced in your little churchy church. And, yes, I am belittling it and I'm mocking it because it deserves to be belittled and mocked. Because while today you look at these gigantic cathedrals and temples and synagogues and you think, what an amazing structure this is. Even the disciples did that to Jesus. They pointed out the temple and said, look at the temple. Isn't it big and impressive? Jesus said, not one stone is going to remain upon another one of this imposing edifice. Because that's what God thinks of religious buildings. That's what God thinks of home, of houses which purport to be the house of God. It's not the house of God. Somebody recently told me, I want to take my children to church because I want them to learn about God. What? That's not the house of God. Didn't you read in the Gospels where the temple veil was torn in two? At that time, the presence of God left the temple. Now Jesus Christ is the repository of all things God, right? And we go to him, and we look at him, we hear his teachings through Paul. And now that same Spirit of Christ lives in us. And so the Spirit of God lives in us, and it causes us to be enlightened when we read the Word of God critically, correctly, literarily, and with a knowledge of sound literary practices, sound grammar practices, and sound knowledge of figures of speech. This is all very important. That doesn't sound very spiritual, Martin. That's right. I don't care. It's as spiritual as can be. And these souls are effecting evil. Now, there's more details on this coming up. And I'm going to stay in Romans 2 for maybe one more day because I want you to see that it's the religious soul that's going to have big problems at the Great White Throne. Listen, I would rather be Adolf Hitler than Billy Graham at the Great White Throne. And I'm very serious about that. I mean it. I would rather be Adolf Hitler than Billy Graham at the Great White Throne.